Hello and welcome to the official Robcast podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is my podcast. Quite an entrance. Hey, hello, my fellow loyal, adventurous, creative-minded listeners. This is your assumptive host, Rob. I said assumptive because I'm assuming that you're all those things, or at least one of those things, but maybe you're none. Those things that I just named are values. All of us have them. We may have different ones. We may overlap values. In fact, you could probably say that, given our nurture, growing up in a society, a capitalist society, you may assume that we share the same values towards capitalism or money or power or any number of currency exchange related things. And maybe in communist China, they share different values. I know that culturally, people tend to lean on values in their culture rather than in the society they're a part of. Like if, someone has immigrated to the United States from Italy, well, I know some Italian values are, you really enjoy simplicity, you enjoy, making your own food and having a lot of family around. Now, this is not obviously in Italian culture. I'm just using it as an example. There's families that have a small winery, or they make their own olive oil, or a number of these things. They live off the land, and their quality of life is based on the simple things around them that they can take time to enjoy. I wouldn't say that Italy is necessarily a capitalist society. I mean, it is, but in terms of world banks and everything like that, you don't really hear about Italian banks. You hear about Swiss banks, German banks, UK banks, US banks, Chinese banks. But, just because they have those values, it does not make them that much different than other people with similar values. Well, that was a stupid thing to say. People with similar values are not different. Let me backtrack here. Let's go back to the part where we've got a family of Italian immigrants and they've immigrated into the United States, right? Let's say during the Ellis Island, the time when Ellis Island was open. And people were just there was an influx of Italian immigrants into New York. Well, now, not all of a sudden, but, you know, gradually, you have these values that are influencing New York culture, right? You get, for instance, Italian restaurants that are, you know, the menu is designed by real Italians, and it's the grandmother's ragu recipe, and it's centuries old, and this and that, and you get delicious food from that, and then people in other cultures can experience that. So if an Irish family came in, and there was an Italian family, and for some reason they weren't feuding or fighting, and one of them came over to the other's house for dinner, they would experience, the Irish people would experience Italian food, perhaps for the first time. And so you sort of get this melting pot of values. But then, my question is this. Do our values seem to shift towards a centric value system the longer that we are sort of living together? So the melting pot of New York, you know, during the late 1800s, Ellis Island has created this gateway for many, many cultures to just come in to the United States, and they're not all going to New York. I mean, I'm just using New York as a prime example. But after, you know, let's say a few generations in, do those values stay the same? Do those Italian values transfer over? Or is it up to the family to keep those values up? Is it up to the parents to teach those children the values? And what values do the parents have influence over rather than society? So you have a third generation Italian American young man in a New York public school, and there's such a diverse ethnic culture and social culture and capitalist per capita income ranges, and what influences that young man? Is it his peers? Is it the educational system? Is it advertising? Is it cinema or television or media or music? And what instills those values in that young man? Is it just passed down like a gene from generation to generation? I don't know. I would have to suspect that the biggest influence over values probably comes from not the logos or ethos, but what's the other one? Psychos. I don't remember the name of it, but you know, there's essentially the logical, there's the logical side, there's the ethic side, not ethnic, and there's the psychological side. Now we know from Edward Bernays introducing Freudian psychology into advertising that in a capitalist society, people are very influenced over they're psychologically convinced, let's say, through commercialism and through advertising, right? So, in other words, ads appeal to our psychological side. So do values appeal to our psychological side? Now let's sort of break it down a little bit. Let's talk about what a value is and what it isn't. You know, a value is, let's say a value is something that you carry with you. It could be a totem, a beacon of light that that helps light your path through life. Maybe it illuminates opportunities and is a helpful tool for conflict resolution and decision making. So you know, values are different than goals. Goals are something that's finite, something that is arguably attainable, and that there could be obstruction in the way, but you know, that theoretically one makes a goal that that one can conceivably achieve. Now, the way that you attain that goal is probably through the channel of your core values. So let's say that that we've got two different people. One person, their core values are they want to value influencing and power, let's say, right? Well, let's strip that back a little bit more. Let's say that two people have the same goal, right? One person has the goal of making a lot of money, and the other person has the goal of making a lot of money. Well, their values could be completely different, because maybe one person doesn't value loyalty and doesn't value honesty and doesn't value you know, those sort of core moral values that we try to instill in our humanity, and then the other person obviously does. They value loyalty, they value honesty, they value you know, dedication and hard work. So if two separate people have the same goals but different values, then they kind of get to their goals differently, right? I mean, you can look at a Wall Street guy, and he can be absolutely cutthroat, you know? He could glean information from his buddy over at Lehman Brothers about some sort of merger or acquisition. He can totally, you know, befriend his buddy, get information, and then have no problem absolutely, you know, slitting his throat and taking the treasure for himself, right? Almost like some sort of corporate pirate, because he doesn't have those values. Now, someone else could have values of making a lot of money, but maybe that person also has creative value. So the way that they make, that they set about making money is maybe becoming a filmmaker, right? Influence over society, making money, power, but they also have creative values. So they may or may not achieve their values. There may or may not be an easier way. It's arguably, I mean, sure, if somebody, you know, really wanted to take a shortcut, they'd say, well, I have no problem destroying life. I have no problem hurting or psychologically scarring people. I I just want to make a lot of money. Well, they can rob a bank, right? They can take a gun into a bank, or you don't even need to take a gun these days. You just take a slip of paper into the bank, and they'll give you a lot of money. Well, obviously there are consequences, and technology has gotten better and better, where facial recognition is prevalent everywhere. Those people, they may get caught. In other words, there's consequences for their actions, for achieving their goals through their specific values. Now, can core values change? I'd have to say yes. I'd have to say that if one really has a goal that they haven't achieved, would they be willing to, put down their moral compass and pick up different values that they believe will get them to their goal? I think some people call that corruption. Some people, call that turning evil or turning, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's probably names for it, but I think yes, the answer is yes. So, we have to ask ourselves, what does influence our values? I can only speak for myself, where I come from a lineage of, what I believe is socially just values, right? Social justice. So those are strong core values of mine. I believe that people should be treated fairly, paid fairly for what they're doing. I believe that that no one should really, be able to take advantage of hardworking people, and that everyone has the right to a free, safe, and an abundant life, really. The pursuit of happiness. I really do appreciate that phrase from the Constitution. Or is that the Declaration of Independence? Oh, geez. I just, you know what? Step into the fear. It's okay. You're ignorant of that. And that's why there's Google. You don't need to know that information. You can just Google it. And that's, one of those things that I think, perhaps the reason why there are stupider people in power is because intellectualism is not as valued as maybe it once was, or maybe it ever was in the society. I think that, the things that are valued are adventuring, honesty, entertainment, honesty to an extent. I think that there's sort of a facade of honesty in our government right now. We've got a president who, quote unquote, tells it like it is, but he's also arguably a compulsive and pathological liar. And then we step into these situations that just seem crazier and crazier, and we go, how do we get ourselves into this situation? Now, I know that in the resistance towards our current regime, a lot of people are saying, do not normalize this behavior. Do not normalize it. Well, I kind of thought about that, and Is normalization a choice that we make? It almost feels like normalization is a natural process, right? In order for us to survive. I mean, say it's, I even don't know if it's an evolution, but let's just use the example of, we go from light to dark, our eyes adjust to the dark. You know, we are made so that we can see in the dark. So, I do believe that that normalization is happening in this country, whether we like it or not, and that the things that our current regime are doing is setting a precedent for our future, if there is one. Bleak warning. But then the question is, then what can we do? Well, I think the only thing that we can do is accept the change, it sounds terrible, accept the change, because, you know, there's this sort of Eastern philosophy of not resisting. You know, it's you could sort of use it in the martial art of judo. You use your opponent's force against them. You're not resisting their force, you know, but you're using their force against them. And you're kind of seeing examples of that right now. I mean, there are very idiotic things being said by Republicans. For instance, when Jeff Sessions was under oath during his congressional hearings, and the Minnesota Senator Al Franken asked him if what he would do if anyone part of the Trump cabinet were to be associated with the Russians, he flat out said, "I did not speak to any Russians during the campaign." Now, he didn't have to say that, but he kind of dug his own grave, because he was blatantly lying about something that he didn't even need to lie about at that point. He brought it up himself. So I guess that could be an argument for, unknowingly, Al Franken sort of used the man's own judo against him. And I think that's when we can find our enemy's weakness, we can pinpoint that and exploit it. Well, arguably, if this is the scenario, that may be what the Russians have done to us. Yeah, our weakness is that they know that we live in a more and more of an idiocracy, where we celebrate and sensationalize celebrity and personalities, as opposed to great minds and intelligence and intellectual thinking. And ergo, you know, it's not this easy, but you've got the opportunity for a person such as Donald Trump to become president. You know, I would argue that if our country's values were different, then perhaps Donald Trump wouldn't even be a contender, right? I mean, most people know about this guy from The Apprentice, or the fact that his gold name is all over buildings, and, you know, maybe there's like some really ugly ties at Macy's or whatever, you know. In other words, he is not known for being a government official. He is not known for being an intellectual or influencing the world in any sort of you know, forward-moving way, except for the fact that he looks out for himself for number one, right? Because his values are money, power, fame, sexuality, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. They're pretty basic values, sort of selfish values. But of course, if you'd been listening to, what was it, the 18th podcast, I would sort of argue that selfishness is merely a survival trait in whatever pursuit the person is going after. So going after is the pursuit of, right? Is like, I mean, you know, if our founding fathers said that you know, one of our country's core values is happiness, then is the pursuit of happiness automatically a shared value for us? I would argue that the pursuit of happiness is definitely a value that I don't know if everyone shares it. To be happy, is that a value, or is that a state of being? I don't know. Is the pursuit of happiness the value that you pursue that state? That's a little tough. I'm not sure. But I do know that, you know, when I'm not demonstrating my core values, or when I'm not aligned with my core values, that I kind of get sad or angry, or I feel hopeless, or, you know, I don't want to, you know, continue with what I'm doing, whatever it may be. And I often find that when I really examine my situation, I'll go, well, am I really utilizing my core values to the extent which I really have potential to, and which I really want? And oftentimes the answer is no, right? Like, you know, for example, well, this is actually an example of when I did exemplify my core values. If one of my core values is creative control, creative input, creativity, let's just say, I had an audition for a role in a movie last week, and I came in with a pretty strong character choice. You know, takes place in Boston, so lo and behold, I had a Boston accent. Now the casting director sort of stopped me in the middle of the scene and was like, are you doing an accent? Yeah, you don't have to do that. And can you do this? And can you do that? And she essentially wanted to water down the performance so that it was generic. Now, this probably goes in line with her values in a way, where, you know, she needs to do a good job. You know, she needs to do her job well. But her doing her job well doesn't actually help me do my job well. So what I decided in the moment was that I would take her note and internalize it, but then I actually decided to do the same thing that I was doing. I just sped it up a little bit. That's all I did. I just picked up the pace a little bit. And I think, had I not done that, had I succumbed to what she wanted me to do, that I would have left the audition feeling pretty, you know, pretty awful, because I would have stepped away from my core values. But I didn't. I kept my creative control, which is one of, I believe, one of my core values, is my own creative input, my creativity. So, you know, I think that's a small example of you know, how one can choose to stay in alignment with their core values, or how they can easily, really, by influence of perhaps other values of theirs. What if, that's an interesting example, what if different values took you off alignment with other values? I can see that happening, right? So, like, your value to please people is in direct conflict with your value of your own creativity. How would you navigate that? That's kind of what makes life so interesting. It's like every moment is a new wave that we have to surf on. And in the deepest part of our subconscious, we are currently firing the pistons and the neurotransmitters and in our brains to sort of balance out our values and our judgments and our feelings and our thoughts and all that in alignment with our pure, you know, integral part of our being, which is the pursuit of survival, which we could totally get into another time, how our values align with our own survival. But let's just leave us with this little nugget here. We can value spontaneity, and the interesting thing about spontaneity is that diamonds are rough until they become smooth. That was spontaneity. I didn't know I was going to say that. I don't know if it necessarily makes sense. Maybe a part of my mind knew it would. Now that's an interesting question. Is spontaneity really the ability to create something in the moment, or is it always a reflection of something that is happening or has just happened? I mean, can we only mirror or reflect or absorb what has happened before, and therefore nothing is really spontaneous? It's just a very long, many links away from the thought previous. I think that, you know, the most brilliant comedians, they operate on, let's say, the model of two chain links ahead, right? Because if you operate on three or four or five chain links ahead in terms of thought processes, like, I think you lose your audience, or you lose who you're talking to. And you probably don't even know yourself. And maybe that's where people find the concept of insanity, or however you want to call it. But, you know, I think there's always a reason why a reaction happens, whether we understand it or not. So, you know, brilliant comedians, they're sort of two chain links ahead, and then the audience actually has to shift to catch up to them, and everything they're saying is so exciting because it feels spontaneous and in the moment, when, of course, the comedian has pre-planned his or her entire set. You know, I guess the old theory is that it takes about 10,000 hours to create a good 10-minute set. But it feels spontaneous in the moment because the material is slightly ahead of the audience. And I think that's how true spontaneity can be, effective. Spontaneity. I don't even know how we got onto that. Just stream of consciousness. One of the values. I think it's one of my values. Spontaneity. But I think I may have just convinced myself that spontaneity doesn't exist. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Well, that's all the time we have today at Robcast Podcast. Be sure to tune in every week to find the latest Robcast Podcast at officialrobcast.podomatic.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at officialrobcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay alive.